It is me again. Like I was saying, a great 4-star matchup between Neville and Austin Aries. I think everything in this match made sense. If Wade Keller or anybody reviews this match bad, then I'm more of a pro wrestling analyst than they are. And that is the fucking truth. It's a fact. Okay? So, Wade Keller, if you are nitpicky, I'm going to nitpick your fucking throat with my shrimp. You understand how inaccurate your reviews can affect someone like me. 'Cause, take it or not, I'm a fucking cunt. And a loser. Previous drug abuser. It doesn't matter. As long as I lose more brain cells and kill people with more veils, it's all cool with a mole on a drool of a fucking phoneful. That's a new word for today. Phoneful. No. What? I've made up so many words in my time on this crazy planet, or in my crazy planet. There's a lot of words like my witch hole stopper.
Oh. You're not going to bounce me, are you? Oh, please. No. Please don't bounce me.
Oh my god, oh, I know it's going to be a hard time, but my neck is hurting so much, there's nothing I can do about it. Oh my god, oh, I know, but I just wanted to tell you I'm back.
I'm very sorry. Zipzock is another word I came up with. If you've heard the song by Jimmy B. Not me, Jimmy B. I'm climbing up the country in my flip-flops, bags full of bones and remains as a zip-zock. Now that sounds like me. No, it's Jimmy B. Don't get it, motherfucking twisted. Don't twist it, because I'm twisted anyway. I twist my penis and my fist and pummel it away. I'm not making much sense here. I think this injury really has got to my mind. I am on the mental decline. Obviously, this week I've taken a Ritalin. I took one just to stay up, basically, because I couldn't get to sleep. And sometimes it can have an adverse effect on you and make you a bit, jittery. Not a very good feeling at all. My heart was going like I was having a heart attack or something. But I'm okay now, I'm not dead today. So, reports will be made when I am dead. Wouldn't it just be funny if I just walked into someone and they were jumping off a bridge trying to commit suicide? Hey, why are you trying to commit suicide without me? That's a bit fucking rude, innit? If you want to do it, I'll come and do it with you. Come on. Let's go on a day. And then he doesn't want to commit suicide. And then I say, right, we're going down together. He's like, no, I don't want to commit suicide. I thought you said you did. You just said you want to commit suicide. So that's why I threw you off the bridge. You told me that. You wanted to commit suicide, and you said about me pushing you off a bridge or something. So I was only doing what you told me to do. Bloody hell. What's all the commotion about?
I'm pissed! Pacing peasants are prowling in the streets. Pacing peasants.
You know, it's really Paul Johnson is a transsexual, homo cholesterol, testosterone, pedo, Mr. Potato Head-o, gay motherfucker. Paul Johnson, Ollie, why won't you act like a respectable adult, Ollie? When I was your age, Ollie, I was at university when I was 17, Ollie. Ollie, I used to travel Europe with £20 on me, Ollie. Ollie, didn't you know that my arse is so red from the poundings that I took because I sucked so much cock when I was at school, especially of the teachers and the establishment? That's why, Ollie. Ollie, why do you ask so many pathetic questions, Ollie? You're not making any sense, Ollie.
Oh, shut your fucking mouth. Hey, Paul, who'd you rather talk to, eh? Me or Dominic fucking Noonan?
Ollie, I'd rather talk to Dominic Noonan. At least I would get a conversation out of him. Yeah, okay, Paul. Who'd you rather talk to, me or Adolf Hitler?
Come on now, Paul. You gotta be really involved about that, haven't you? Hey?
Adolf Hitler, Ollie. Even though he put me in a gas chamber, Ollie, I'd still rather talk to you than have to listen to your senseless stupidity, Ollie.
Well, you won't have to be listening to my sensitive stupidness anymore, will you, you Mr. Potato Head cock sucking, fucking, dick licking, fag-a-lag with a fucking tag. Oven, and I'm gonna have to throw you in the fucking oven and cook you up into a roasty for my doggy to have a nice tasty of her Sunday roast meal. And that is my deal. If you feel what I feel, if you don't feel like I feel, then you must feel what I feel.
That don't make any sense. I'm reviewing Extreme Rules. I'm trying to anyway, but it's really hard, you know. Have you ever come down with something that makes you kind of hazy, like a chicken that's just come out of its hatch and it's chasing a badger, and the badger is running along the woodland and it takes a right, then a left, it avoids the night foxes, then a dog touches it.
Bet you haven't heard that story before, have you?
I bet that's the funniest thing you've ever fucking heard in your fucking life.
Anyway, I'm going to review this match up. Please forgive me for boring you, but I don't care. Has anyone listened to my podcast has just kissed my fucking arse? And like I said, I'm going to start charging people. If anyone does actually ever listen to the SFS podcast. I'm going to start charging people £2. I have to do it for a good cause. Now, the money is not going to me. The money is going to the SFS charity to make the world a better place. You understand? I'm trying to change the world here. I'm trying to make it so that dogs have as much rights as humans do. And we don't have to be bound by religion or fucking capitalism anymore. We can all just act like lunatics and walk around naked with a hard dick. Break things, smash up the world, do whatever you want to do. Who cares? Everything's going to go anyway. We lose stuff, we break stuff, we lose our money. Everything you get, you're going to lose in the end. Because in the end, you're all going to die. And that's true. In the end, we're all going to just die. I'm sorry to hear that. Anyway, I'm going to review the Extreme Rules match now. The Fatal 5-Way. Now, I give this a 5-star match. Because, 3 4-star matches on the card. The first one was 4-star. Between Dolph Ziggler and Miz. Hardy Boys versus Cesaro and Sheamus. 4-star. Classic match between Neville and Austin Aries. Give that a 4-star. That's the second best match of the night in my opinion. But the best was the Fatal 5-Way. Just the story, everything clicked. And anyone can bullshit about the stipulation, about it being a 5-way, but every superstar got the high spots in, got what they wanted to in. At the start of the match, you know, it started off with Roman Reigns basically telling the story. Both other 4 superstars fighting outside the ring and Roman just standing there a bit cocky. Like he's the big dog, yeah. I'm Samoan, motherfucking big dog. I'm just taking out all you motherfuckers, man. And that's what he does, and then he starts taking out wrestlers one by one like in his yard. It might be in your yard, but The Undertaker will say something. Roman Reigns, I will make you famous. You will be famous. Now, when did you get that? Yeah, it might be your yard, but you're going to be made famous, Roman Reigns. And you don't want that. So Roman Reigns starts off the match really all eyes on Roman. And then we have Samoan Joe and Bray Wyatt, basically. Since the start of the match, basically, teaming throughout the match, which is great because you've got 5 superstars. And that's the storytelling right there, is the 2 superstars. Bray Wyatt and Samoan Joe trying to clear out everyone. The 2 biggest stars, biggest fighters in the match. You're going to take an over, and it takes a while for them to actually turn on each other. For a large proportion of the match, they're dominating. And Samoan Joe is, and Bray Wyatt, as vicious motherfuckers. Seth Rollins, high spot, Seth Rollins doing his jumps out of the ring. And then next person to shine is Finn Balor on Bray Wyatt as he does them stomps. Basically shows a bit of aggressiveness with all these hard stomps that he's doing. Stomp. He does it to a lot of them. Does it to Seth Rollins on his back. Now, the only star that was lacking in this match, not throughout the match, because he made up for it at the end, towards the end, was Seth Rollins, which that was not my pick to win. I wanted Seth Rollins to win. Another high spot with Finn Balor just doing a flip over the top rope.
I thought that Finn Balor was going to win, obviously. Or Roman Reigns. But yeah, Finn gets a high spot with the stomps and then over the top rope with the flip. Then Roman Reigns shows his aggressiveness, you know. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Seth Rollins took a while to actually... he was the bit of the weak link in the match as it was going on. But at the end... Not at the end, towards the end, he shined more than anyone. So that's why I said everyone had a part to play in the match. Now, like I said, after Finn Balor gets control, Roman gets control again. He tries to go for the drive-by, then Jones intercepts him. Fucking great interception by Jones, showing that he's got a mean streak as well as two fucking arm of fucking Samoans go against each other. I don't think they're related, Samoan Joe or Roman Reigns. I think he's outside that circle. But that's when you really get the double team starts to play, as they basically demolish Roman Reigns and Finn Balor and Seth Rollins. Roman and Finn come back a bit during the match, as you see little of Seth Rollins during this time. It's just Roman and Bray Wyatt. But obviously, Bray Wyatt obviously always going to think he's in control, because he is the master manipulator, as he plays that Charles Manson type of character. But obviously Samoan Joe's one bad motherfucker, and you cannot manipulate Samoan Joe. And that was the great storytelling of the match, really, because you're wondering when is they going to turn on each other, basically. And how is Bray Wyatt going to manipulate Samoan Joe so much in his favour? Because Bray Wyatt is the master manipulator. And you're wondering as well, in the future, is Samoan Joe going to join the Wyatt family? But that would just be a bit dumb, really. Like Randy Orton doing it. But as I said, Bray Wyatt is the master manipulator. As he started the terror by throwing Reigns on the table and going from corner to corner with steel steps, just demolishing Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor. You don't turn your back on Bray Wyatt. Once everything's out of the way, he will manipulate you and he will get you to lie down for the free. But saying Samoan Joe will never get manipulated throughout their partnership, obviously Samoan Joe's wary of Bray Wyatt. Always Bray Wyatt's just smiling behind him thinking, "You're gonna be mine, boy. You're gonna be mine." But yeah, great storytelling throughout the match between them two. You know, I didn't care actually who won this match, to be honest, because both of them the five hottest stars on Raw. So I wasn't really concerned who would win this match. Really, I wanted Seth Rollins to win, but I thought that Finn Balor or Roman Reigns would win. But I wouldn't be bothered if Bray Wyatt had won or any of them won, because I just thought that Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar, I don't know how they'd be able to connect. Maybe I'm wrong, I just don't think. I think it needs more build up. You know, it would be, but I don't know. Obviously, I think Brock Lesnar would connect mostly with Roman Reigns, seeing as they both defeat The Undertaker. I never thought about Samoan Joe facing it. I always thought Samoan Joe coming in this match, he's the veteran, like he, you know, the veteran of the match. He's basically like the best wrestler
that's been around the longest. I'd say Seth Rollins is probably the best pound-for-pound wrestler in the match. But Samoan Joe, obviously, is a great wrestler. The matches he's had with Kurt Angle, he's had some five-star ones. But this is a five-star match throughout. Storytelling is great. The moves are great. The high spots we'll get into are great. It was just a well-rounded show. It was well-balanced, I think, as well. Especially the last match was well-balanced. All of it was balanced because it weren't just about extreme rules. Not every match was extreme. There was a good wrestling match. There was a good cage match. And then there was a five-way match. And then there was a good, like, one-on-one match that was full of storytelling, so they balanced it out great in this pay-per-view. That's why I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I heard someone gave it a B. I don't do the voting system on that. A, B, C, I'll do it just 1 to 10. A lot of people do. Like, the 10, if it's going to be a 10 out of 10 show, it's going to be like WrestleMania 17 or 19 or SummerSlam 2002. They're 10 out of 10 shows. Yeah, throughout the demolition, Finn Balor's mostly the target, as is Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins, as I said throughout the match, you don't see much of him. Why Bray Wyatt and Samoan Joe are on the path of destruction. It's great how the crowd are shouting when Bray Wyatt smashes Roman with the chair. One more time, one more time. But when is Finn going to turn into the demon again? Because that's going to propel his character. Obviously, there's probably going to be a waiting period for that to happen as he goes into his big match. But whether or not he will connect with Brock Lesnar is another thing. Yes, he does deserve to be the Universal Champion because he never lost it. He deserves that run. These are high spots in the match, basically, where the storytelling's great as Bray Wyatt's got the chair and Samoan Joe thinks that Bray Wyatt's trying to turn on him. And then they try to up each other's antics by doing the sit-down drop. Both of them heavy motherfuckers. Bray Wyatt probably more impact on Finn Balor as he does this sit-down power drop. Bounces off the rope with the sit-down power drop. Finn Balor sells like a motherfucker. Even at this time now, they should be turning on each other now that they basically demolished Finn Balor and Roman Reigns, but still, they're still working together. Still kicking the shit out of Balor as Balor comes back a little bit. I mean, it's good chemistry there between the two. And Bray Wyatt's a good wrestler as well. I can't see why he lost the title, basically. I've always wanted Bray Wyatt to be champion. But then you have a little bit of a comeback from Finn. And then you have the drive-by by Roman Reigns. As pretty much Seth Rollins is in the background throughout the match. And then you have a bit of a tie between Roman and Finn. As Roman picks him up. Like a big motherfucker. And the Superman punches Samoan Joe. And then does the 10 combination clothesline in the corner to Bray Wyatt. This is why they call him the Big Dog. Because basically he's going through what's been a big force in the match, throughout the match, Bray Wyatt and Samoan Joe. As he's the only one who can really big enough to really put them both down. I mean, Roman is a fierce, I mean, he's an aggressive style. Reminds me a bit of Goldberg, Simone version, but he's like a pretty boy version. Intense. Not very good moveset, but, you know, not learning, he's still young, he's still got a lot of his career ahead of him. Obviously, he's never going to be that face. Obviously, his charisma is not like The Rock's. Then we have a good high spot outside by Bray Wyatt doing his signature throw on Roman as he hits off the table. I'm just wondering, you know, at this point when I'm watching it, where the fuck is Seth Rollins? You know what I mean? I haven't seen him for a while. Yeah, I'm thinking, where the hell is Seth? And then he just comes out of nowhere, basically, and then lights up the match. Because he is the best wrestler of the five. Most exciting wrestler, a bit of Shawn Michaels and a bit of Triple H in him, I'd say, in an upgraded way. I still like Seth Rollins to go back to his 2015 persona. And there you have a high spot in the match, double neck breaker. Fucking love that one. Now you're thinking Seth's back. No, because I was thinking, what the hell, Seth, it's going to be bad for Seth Rollins if he's just left out of this match. But then he comes back and basically does dive through the middle rope, Daniel Bryan style, but Seth Rollins style, because he usually does it three times. And as he does it, then you have the dysfunction between Wyatt and Samoan Joe, as Bray Wyatt throws Samoan Joe in the way as Seth Rollins jumps through the middle rope. And then that's when basically the alliance between Joe and Wyatt disintegrates. But Rollins as well is great selling at the moment. He's not selling his knee as much, because that was getting pretty annoying. He's been having great matches recently, Seth Rollins. But yeah, Bray Wyatt then gets back in control. And Seth Rollins managed to pick up Bray Wyatt and do the twisting sit-down suplex. He just comes up with new moves. He's got power, he's got agility. He does the flag splash expertly. The suplexes, the neck breakers, the move arsenal that Seth Rollins got is great. I just can't understand why they barred the curb stomp, to be honest. Because that was a vicious move that would take him out. Probably because of PG crap. But then you get the first finisher of the night, the Sister Abigail, that Seth Rollins is on the receiving end of Bray Wyatt, and then Samoan Joe then comes back in, breaks over, saying, "What the hell did you fuck me over for? Throwing me in," and then Bray Wyatt tries to manipulate him a bit more. It's all part of Bray Wyatt's manipulation skills. But as you know, Samoan Joe will not be manipulated, and then it's on. Bray Wyatt pushes Samoan Joe, and then they get to fighting. And Samoan Joe basically kick on the turnbuckle, showing that he's still got it. Because you need to see a lot from Samoan Joe. Since he turned into the roster, you're going to see more of him. You know, he's going to make more of an impact. Just like Shinsuke Nakamura is on SmackDown. Yeah. But Bray and Samoan, big heavy motherfuckers, got kind of similar styles in that sense, but Samoa Joe is obviously more of an accomplished wrestler. But Wyatt obviously has got more of a personality and a greater gimmick. Probably the best gimmick in wrestling at the moment, in my opinion. And then Samoa Joe, as he tries to put the sleeper onto her, Bray Wyatt, Finn Balor comes out of nowhere with a steel chair and hits Samoa Joe, hits Bray Wyatt. And Finn Balor shows a lot of aggressiveness, Irish fucking aggressiveness. Because if you're Irish, you're aggressive. Like me. I haven't met an Irish person that isn't aggressive in some way. It's in our blood to be aggressive fighters. Then Finn Balor starts to get momentum. Whoa, that's one of the biggest high spots of the match so far. As Finn Balor comes running at the side of the ropes. Boom! Just fucking stuns Roman Reigns. Then you get the double drop kick from corner to corner from in the outside. As he runs through fucking everyone with a double drop kick on Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, from corner to corner on the outside. I mean, definitely the future of Finn Balor. As this crowd chanting, "We want tables," I think. And Finn Balor bashes Bray Wyatt's head against the announce table. Showing the aggressiveness, and he needs to, because at the end of the day, he's an Irish. Irish are always aggressive. And that'll put his character more open. His realistic character of Finn Balor without the demon. But obviously his demon brings extra dimension to his character. Now you're thinking Finn Balor's going to do a real big high spot. But then Samoa Joe gets him in the clutch. The chokehold there, and then out of nowhere. Boom! Roman Reigns spears both Joe and Balor through the barricade. An oh my god moment that you see often in 2K14. Now, the biggest, the biggest high spot of the match, Seth Rollins goes right to the top. And this is where Seth picks up. And, that's why I say all five play the parts and all five of the high spots. This is a great flog splash. I thought he would usually do an elbow, because he usually does the elbow. But he did the flog splash, and the table landed awkwardly, like they had some velocity to the landing, which made it really authentic. You know, great high spot there. Great high right wheel. The last 2 minutes we've had Balor knock the shit out of Reigns from the side of the apron and do the drop kicks, then Reigns doing the spear on Joe and Balor through the barricade, and then the flog splashed off the top rope onto Bray Wyatt, onto the table. Look at it, does it with perfection as well. Great move by Seth Rollins. That got me going. I mean, we've got the storytelling throughout the match. Now, you know, you're getting the high spots now. And it's coming towards the day near the end. There's Roman and Seth face off, basically. Two big guys have had a lot of history together and had that great match on Raw. As they both go toe-to-toe. And sequences are great with these two guys. I don't know if the Shield will ever get back together, because all three of them are on Raw now, so that probably might happen later on this year. Because I can't see, even though I like to see Seth Rollins as the Universal Champion, I would, that's my big goal. To see main event at next WrestleMania, Styles versus Rollins. Here we go, they're slugging it out, both of them. Both of a long-standing history. Roman Reigns with his power, Rollins with his quickness. Rollins then knocks out Reigns with a forearm. And a Pele kick. Enziguri, I mean, not Pele kick. So he's great at landing. He's got great balance, Rollins. As he does a move off the top rope, always lands on his feet. I just hope he stays in the game, you know. I don't like when he gets injured. Keeps up the work and stays in the game. Because great Seth Rollins. A great, exciting wrestler to watch. So, 9 out of 10 pay-per-view, definitely. For Extreme Rules. Not your typical Extreme Rules, which is good because you don't want every match to be barbaric and hardcore. The only thing really missing in this pay-per-view is blood. I'd have liked to see some blood in this pay-per-view. But still, it's a fantastic pay-per-view. One of the best pay-per-views in a while. As Rollins does it, one of his signature roll-up kick to the head. Seth Rollins always, crowd gets pumped up and Seth goes to the top. Viva la raza, is he going to do the flog splash? Yes, another flog splash by Seth Rollins. Got a couple of high spots he does off the top rope. He does the net breaker one off the top rope, the tinter whirl drop off the top rope, the flip, the double Barani kind of flip, and flog splash. And one of the other great moves I like from Seth Rollins is the suplex off the top. He suplexes his opponent, then hangs on, and then suplexes him, twisting himself into a drop. Classic move that Seth Rollins has got. Don't break up the fight, little Rumble. Don't make enemies with me. Wonder when that film's coming out. It's coming out in the US on June the 16th. I don't know when it's coming out on UK. I don't. It always come out in America first. I'm trying to watch it online, but I can't. That's what I mean. Just throw, but you know. Twisting Barani, double Barani, leap off the top rope, lands on his feet. Classic acrobat is Seth Rollins. Now you think, oh, I'm thinking now, but Bray Wyatt goes for Sister Abigail, then sets up Roman for the spear. And then Seth Rollins picks Roman up and tosses him straight into the thing. And then you have that sequence of Superman punch, what you saw in Raw. It's a great, great match, you know. This is what gave it a 5-star as the ending. And you get I'm thinking now, is either going to be, obviously, what I thought was going to win, Reigns and Finn, as they're the last two in the match. You're thinking, who is it going to be? Now I'm thinking this is the end. No. Both Finn and Reigns. Both squaring off. You're thinking, if Rollins gets the spear, he's done. But whoa! And then Finn Balor comes back with the drop kick. Reigns into the corner. Then this is when I'm thinking it's over now. I'm thinking, yet. Trouble! Double stomp from the top, the one knee drop, and then this surprises me like a motherfucker. Just Samoa Joe comes out of nowhere and fucking with the choke. With the Samoan clutch. Great sleeper with that, man. It'll choke you to death in real life as he fucking wraps his weight around you. And basically. Don't tap Finn, but that's the end of the match. I'm very surprised. That's a surprise element to it as well. Because I did not think that Samoan Joe was going to win this match. And that's another great thing about the match. It's a surprise. And we've had a lot of it this year. With Randy Orton winning the Royal Rumble. Jinder Mahal being champion. You know, you keep getting surprises and that's good. Because, you know, because that's what used to be back in the Attitude Era. That unpredictability. And because a lot of people, because the internet, they predict who's going to win, thinking, yeah, he's going to win. It's been happening for years, but this year, it's kind of changed a bit, where it's become unpredictable, where you, the guy who you do not think is going to win, does win. What a classic match, 5-star match, 9 out of 10 pay-per-view, great ending to the match. 5-star match, definitely. Anyway, this is the O.G to the E, Jimmy B. And next time on the next podcast, I will be talking to a spider. So, everybody, this is a spoiler for my next podcast. I will be talking to a spider because, if you know, I'm more scared of spiders than tigers. I am arachnophobic, and I hate spiders, so the war is on between me and spiders. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. If you haven't, then I have. My neck's still hurting a lot. Like I was saying before, wondering when All Eyes on Me is coming out. I desperately want to see that film. I think it's going to be a great movie. You know, keep seeing these new videos of Pac as well on YouTube. I just love seeing them. Right, as in, just keep coming, these new videos of behind the scenes footage. But I don't get into his death, me, because fucking come on, there's too much fucking arguments with fucking faggots on the fucking trolling system, and you know what the point? You know, you're just as bad as that fucking. I don't know what's going on with that flex guy and that whack. Flat 100, he's fucking funny. Him. No disrespect, he just is. The way he just does things. I think he's trying to be an entertainer like me, so do what you gotta do, Flat 100, I suppose. It's not as bad as what Flex said about Pac. Flex got real personal. I think what Whack 100 trying to say was, he was never a gangster, which was true. He was never a gangster. Yeah, he was a revolutionary and just a great a person with a great personality and an icon. You know, fucking hell, man. Tupac got all the bitches he wanted. You know? He fucking lived his life. You gotta focus on his life, not his death. You know? At the end of the day, I cannot go into his death because I just don't want to do that. I've done it too many times. I've wrote books on it, but as I said, I've lost them because I lost my hard drive with a book that I wrote on it about what I think happened or could or might have happened. What I'm going to say is my view is it's either just straight up retaliation or bigger picture being Puffy and the feds. Because this is what I mean, you've got to study every book you read. I've read all of them. The John Potash book, which is a really good book, which is very gives you great inside information, not just on Tupac, but your fucking establishment, which I'm against. Obviously, the only problem with that book is he paints Tupac out to be a saint in that book, and obviously he ain't a saint. He did fucking he did do shit, you know what I mean? Fucking, he was a wild motherfucker, you know, with the Hughes brothers and all that, but he wouldn't take any shit off anyone. He weren't a bad person, but he wouldn't take shit off anyone, you know. You're in your face, motherfucker, that's who Pac was. You know, would hang around with the artist of the artist and be in your fucking face. You know, no match for Biggie Smalls, and Biggie Smalls shit it when Pac fucking dissed him. Yeah, so that paints him as a, like a saint kind of thing. I think he's true. A lot of that Potash book is true about the history, especially with the Panthers getting framed and Tupac's rape case and him getting set up by the A-Team BMF, Haitian Rat Henchman and Tuck. Yeah. And P. Diddy obviously was part of that setup, because he came from a guy, gangster, who was a snitch. I think Puffy was involved in both murders. That's what I think. Now, fucking throw me all you fucking want. I don't give a fuck. It's just an opinion, right? I don't really care. What I care about is how my fucking grandma died, because I know that a doctor didn't do the fucking job properly. And my grandma was better than any fucking body in this whole fucking earth. She's a better person than Tupac or anybody, okay? This is my fucking grandma. She's running fucking nice. Right? My grandma. Respect to my grandma. Anyone says anything about my grandma, mate, I will fucking stab you fucking 5,000 fucking times. Feed you to the rats, like Kuklinski, because yeah, it would be on. That's what I mean about in this disrespect towards Tupac, man. It's not for the fans to say fuck all, and it isn't for the game to say fuck all to WAC 100, right? None of hit the game's business, right? People are saying the game's doing this and that. Listen, it's none of his business. The game never met Tupac. He's living his life. He came up as a blood and, you know, he lives his life. You know that the game don't fuck around. You've seen it on YouTube, right? He's probably one of the toughest guys in hip-hop, right? So people saying game tell WAC 100. He probably does do behind the scenes, but it's not his job, you know, to do that. It's just all fucking, you know, to get fame. But WAC 100 makes me laugh, to be honest, because he just does it to get fame. And a bit like me with this podcast, I don't video myself going round saying, glorifying that I'm a blood at age 40, I suppose. But that's what makes him funny. I'm not saying he isn't, probably is, you know. He is a bodyguard, obviously, for the game, so he's gonna be an handy man. He owns a trucking company, so, you know. That's why it's pretty funny when he talks about all that blood stuff, but he owns a trucking company. Which really should be focusing on that more than this stupidity that goes on. But, yeah, biggest fans of Bruce Lee, that's my biggest role model that I look up to. Second is Tupac, and that's the way it goes. I don't give a fuck about anything, you know, about me, because I never knew Tupac. Listen, motherfucker, I've been a fan for 15 years. Tupac was alive in the entertainment spotlight for 5 years. Don't tell me
what I know or do not know about fucking Tupac, because I was obsessed with a lot of it, and it was a pretty unhealthy obsession. Sometimes I do get over obsessed with stuff. Watched all his documentaries, read all his books, read everything there is to know about the guy. Obviously, I don't know the guy, so there's a lot of things I won't know about him. But I put the fucking pieces together, you know what I mean? That's what I do. You just don't put one fucking piece together and run with it. You put all the pieces together. Then you mix them up. That's what you do. There's people like fucking believing in this chaos bullshit. I just fucking laugh at it now. It got me angry at first, but I just laugh at it. Because it's just so fucking far from the truth, man. Come on, man. Snoop Dogg would have killed Tupac. I mean, what the fuck are you going on about? They had a little fucking misunderstanding 3 days before his death. That does not mean he's going to fucking say, right, that's it, I'm going to kill him. David Kenner, right, was representing Tupac on a case, right? That was scheduled on the 12th of September, right? Do your fucking research, right? Because Tupac, throughout the last year of his life, was still going to court for shit that he did before he went to jail. Because they're still trying to put him back in prison. Now, when people are saying to me that I'm fucking I'm on the police's side or Greg Kaden's side, no, I'm not. I think the feds probably did have something to do, definitely, with the 94 shooting and instigating the 96 shooting. But to people to not say that Lane was not the shooter is fucking retarded. And sometimes I come off as being that way. Well, that's another story. But I know that Baby Lane, anyone knows, any street person, and I've talked on the internet to a real street person, they don't comment on it, but I talked to them about it, right, and they told me this is what happened and how Lane bragged about it, and you got to look at the facts and the evidence here, right? A white Cadillac was found at Troy's house. The guy, the driver, one of his relatives' house, the guy who's driving it. It's a fact that they rented the white Cadillac, the same Cadillac that shot at the BMW, right? And it's a fact that a 40 Glock was found at Troy's house, and everyone, quite a lot of Crips say Orlando stashed it there. Then there was a big meeting in that park and that war came out. Why would that happen? And David Kenner, what the fuck has he got to do with any of this? He fucked off after all of it. You know, Reggie White, what did he gain off it? What did Snoop Dogg gain off it? Reggie White, Snoop left afterwards. Reggie was friends with Suge Knight as a child. Basically, what Reggie did, Suge Knight did, is order Reggie to thingy and just look after the company while I'm away. And he did, and then Suge got back home, still had a bit of money, and took over again. Still ran Death Row from prison. He signed new artists like Crooked Eye and stuff. And Daz Dillinger stayed with Death Row. Snoop went on. Daz stayed. Just can't fathom some of you people that fucking point towards Snoop and Little Fucking Half Dead. Little Half Dead's just some. I've actually listened to some of his song. Pretty good, actually, Little Half Dead. That Hood Life song. I think he's in prison now. But based on facts, did you see Little Half Dead in Las Vegas? Right, with all the cameras that were in Las Vegas, did you see Little Half Dead?
Is there any evidence that we were there? No. Snoop Dogg was at Warren G's house with Trey Day at the time. Right? So, that rules out Snoop Dogg. And you've seen that interview with Snoop Dogg on her resurrection. Basically, tears are coming out of his eyes. There's other interviews where he's very upset over it. And he did visit Tupac in hospital. Frank Alexander said so. You know what you need to do, you people, as well, because you're saying about Frank's death and about Greg Kaden being this fucking cover-up guy. Greg Kaden says that in his book that he supported Russell Poole and thought the LAPD were full of shit. Because after he was close to solving Tupac's murder, the task force let him off because basically what it was is they used Greg Kaden, the LAPD, because of the lawsuit that Valletta Wallace was sending out. So that case was about Biggie. He was investigating Biggie's murder. Tupac's was just the backbone to it. It just happened that he got to the bottom of Tupac's murder. And probably I don't think he really got to the bottom of Biggie's, I think. I stick with Russell Poole's theory on Biggie's murder. Is that a professional hit? David Mack, Debank Rabba. But Puffy, I think Puffy has something to do with that. As well, if you watch a documentary called Raw Deal and you study the history of the BMF, the Black Mafia, then you'll know that a lot of them, these are real gangsters, right? Real gangsters, not rappers. Gangsters, okay? BMF. And obviously, lots of gangsters turn snitches for a great reason, because they don't want to do life in prison, because prison is hell. Okay? Anyway, I'm coming back with my other podcast about the spider. So I will see you fucking twats later. Now fuck off!